गाया गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गाया गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर श्री राधे जय कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय गौरानिताय 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 जय गौरानिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय जय गुरुदेव 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 जय जय गुरुदेव जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रवजिकाचार्य स्तोत्र सद्विवेंगेश भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद महाराज की जय सामवेद भक्त वृंद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंद हरि हरि बो Hare Krishna. So before I begin, I want to seek blessings from all the senior Vaishnavas, senior devotees present here, and all the Vaishnavas in the assembly. I seek your blessings. So we'll reading from 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse number 29. So we'll read the verse and translation and a few lines of the purport. भोक्ताराम यज्ञ तपसाम सर्वलोका महेश्वरम सुहदम सर्वभूतानाम ज्ञात्वा माम शांतिम रुच्यति ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद एंड परपुर बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. We'll read a few lines from the purport. The conditioned souls within the clutches of illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world. But they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest peace formula is simply this. Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. Men and women should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord because he is the proprietor of all planets and demigods thereon. No one is greater than he. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiname Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashati Deshatari Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Om Shri So, this is a very important verse from Bhagavad Gita, and it gives us the, as Srila Prabhupada says, the peace formula. So, I want to start by asking a general question, something that you can think about is, where do we find peace in this world? So, yes, nowhere, outside. We see that, especially in the current situation that we see around us, many nations are at war with each other. If you look at America itself, there's a constant division, right? There's a political turmoil going on. There's a social unrest in America right now. Everyone is fighting with each other and trying to figure out who is right. Not only that, families are also torn apart over money and property, and there are all sorts of external issues that are going on around us, including the phone calls. So, and the general message everywhere is that we should still get more, right? Everything should be is based on getting more. Whether it's getting more money, getting more things, and people think that if we are able to get all this more and more and more, we will be peaceful. And we know that this material world is temporary. Even though when we get that more stuff, yes, there may be initially some happiness or some satisfaction, but eventually it leads to more dissatisfaction. So Krishna is telling Arjuna in the battlefield that, especially with this verse, is that peace comes by understanding three principles or three truths that we will read today or understand today. And these truths are not just philosophy, they are fundamental to understanding peace overall in this chaotic world. And we can all understand from that. So there was a king long time back, and he did a competition. And he said, there's a painting competition, and everyone has to draw peace. Now, how would you draw peace? But still, there were many people who participated in that competition, and they all drew peace. At the end, the king decided on the final two paintings. And the one of the paintings was, it was beautiful mountain. There were beautiful trees, there were flowers, a very calm lake, and it was just an amazing picture, amazing painting. So that was the first one. The second one was, the second also had like mountain, trees, flowers, lake, but it was raining heavily. It was heavy rain. There were ripples on the lake. And there's kind of a turmoil in that picture, in that painting. And also the birds were flying here and there in fear. The animals were running around because of fear. So that was the second picture, the second painting. And the king actually had to choose between the two. So the king decided that the second painting will be the winner. And everyone was surprised. Why is the second painting the winner? And the king explained that if you look closely in this picture, in this painting, you'll see that behind the waterfall, there's a mother bird feeding her child. And in a very calm and stable way, she's sitting and feeding her child around all the chaos and all the kind of turmoil happening around her. So to me, King said, that is peace. So this is the exact same principle that Bhagavad Gita is teaching us, which is that there can be a lot of chaos around us, a lot of turmoil around us, but the real peace comes from within. Yes, external factors can matter. It can help us. But eventually, it's the inner peace that matters the most. And nowadays, there are many terms for this called inner engineering, inner peace. I mean, there are many terms out there right now to define that. So peace, one of the writers says that, and it's a wonderful statement, that peace does not mean absence of chaos. Peace means the presence of divinity around us. Peace does not mean absence of chaos. Peace means presence of divinity around us. So Krishna started this verse by talking about the first principle. And the first principle is Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam. Krishna is saying that he is the supreme enjoyer. He's a supreme enjoyer. Now, I want to ask you a question and help you understand, like, and think about, have you come across a situation where you feel like everything is going well for you, whether it's materially, with your family or your job or work that you do, but still you feel a sense of dissatisfaction? Can sometimes happens with anyone here? There is this sense of dissatisfaction sometimes, even though we feel like things are going well, right? So that's exactly what Krishna is saying, that Krishna is saying that I am the enjoyer, right? And we are meant to give enjoyment to Krishna. We are meant to please Krishna. Now, Srila Prabhupada gives a wonderful example of a hand and the stomach. He says that when we eat the food, what's happening is the hand is actually cutting the vegetables, preparing the food, serving the food, but who's actually enjoying the food? The stomach. But there's a purpose of stomach enjoying the food, because when stomach enjoys the food, it gives nourishment to the whole body. But let's suppose the hand says, I want to go on a strike. There's no way I want stomach to only enjoy the food. I want to enjoy myself. So what would the hand do? Hand would stop feeding to the stomach and go on strike. So when the food comes, the hand will hold the food but not feed the stomach, not go into the mouth and feed the stomach. So then what happens? After a while, the hand will become weak. In the same way, all the body parts will become weak. Right? So only by giving it to the stomach, going into the stomach, and it nourishes the whole body, right? So in the same way, the Bhagavad Gita is teaching that principle, that who's the source? Krishna is the source. And when we are pleasing Krishna as a source, then we get nourishment. Also, Srila Prabhupada gives this example of giving water to the root of the plant, right? Only when we give water to the root of the plant, then only the plant grows. Otherwise, if you're just watering the leaves, then there is no growth for the plant. So that's the principle. Now, I was thinking about this principle and thought of a personal reflection. Many years ago, around 2008, 2009, I was doing my job. I was doing very well professionally. And almost every year, I was getting promoted at my job. So, and the leadership recognized me, and I was getting a lot of awards. So it should make me feel happy, right? But it was exactly the opposite. I was totally dissatisfied. And I thought, and I had not come into Krishna consciousness at that time. And I was feeling that something is missing. Why am I not happy? I'm getting what I need. I'm getting the awards. I'm getting the recognition. I'm getting the money. But still, I felt unsatisfied. So at that time, I went to India. But before I went to India, I bought a book. And the book name was 4-Hour Work Week. Anyone heard of that book? 4-Hour Work Week. It's by Tim Ferriss. And the book says that you work 4 hours, you get the same amount of money, and the rest of the hours you enjoy. You travel, you have fun. I was like, this is the solution to my all dissatisfaction and problems that I'm having in my life. So I bought the book, went to India, read the whole book during the trip to India. But then I realized, no, it's not really the hours that are the problem. It's not what the time I'm spending is the problem. And then after a few years later, I came across Bhagavad Gita. And that changed my perspective of what work is. And yes, I have to do the hours, but Bhagavad Gita changed my position, my perspective of what those work hours for. Why do I go and do the work? And it helped me build this element of, or understand this element of service. That if we do service, then we get satisfaction, then we get enjoyment automatically, naturally. And so by understanding this concept, I got the idea that I'm not really the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. And by just pleasing him, I will be able to get enjoyment. So sometimes people ask, okay, yes, we are not the enjoyers, Krishna is the enjoyer, but does that mean I should not enjoy at all? There should be no enjoyment for me? And the answer is no. The enjoyment comes as a byproduct, not as a goal. When we go out and try to do something, our goal should not be to get enjoyment out of it. Our goal should be to do service. Any work that we do, we can take it as a service. And when we do that, as a byproduct of that service, we naturally and automatically get enjoyment. Now, there's a beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that sums it up. And that verse is, Save pumsam paro dharmo yatho bhakti yadhokshaje ahetuki apratihata yayatma suprasiditi. The verse describes that by unmotivated and uninterrupted service to the Supreme Lord, the soul becomes satisfied, suprasiditi, completely satisfied. So satisfaction is not something we chase, right? All we have to do is correct our position. If we correct our position and put Krishna in the center, then naturally and automatically we get happiness and we get satisfaction and enjoyment. So that is the first principle that Krishna is teaching, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam, which is he is the supreme enjoyer. Now as he goes further, he goes deeper and deeper. The second principle that Krishna is teaching is, I am the supreme proprietor. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Now, when I was thinking of this, I thought this is the biggest problem in society right now, which is, it's not that biggest mental disturbance that we get is because of this, because it's not really that there's lack of success. There are mental issues because of lack of success. There are mental issues because of relationships. But most of the issues are because of the ownership, the concept of this ownership, this assumption that we are always making that this is mine, that this family is mine, this house is mine, this car is mine, this property is mine. And that's the root of all the disturbances and mental problems that we have. Because the moment we say that this is mine, then the fear enters. Fear of loss, fear of change, right? Fear of interference, someone coming in and trying to take something. So Krishna is saying that he is the only proprietor. Now, I want to share another personal reflection. When I was young in India, growing up in India, I used to go to Hindu temples a lot. Even while after coming to America, I used to go to Hindu temples. And if you visit Hindu temples, most of the Hindu temples have this poster, and that poster says Gita Sar. Anyone seen that? It's Gita Sar means essence of Bhagavad Gita. It's a very summary. It's a small poster. It has essence of Bhagavad Gita. So I had this habit when I was young to read that Gita Sar, and it's wonderful because it summarizes everything. And in that Gita Sar, there was a statement. It says in Hindi, Jo aaj tumhara hai, kal kisi aur ka hai, aur parso kisi aur ka hoga. What it means is, what you have today was someone else's yesterday and will be someone else's tomorrow. What you have today was someone else's yesterday and will be someone else's tomorrow. So even as a child, I felt like that's deeply true. And so Krishna says that I'm the supreme proprietor. That means we are not. He is the supreme proprietor. We are not, right? So we arrive with nothing and we leave with nothing. In between, so we arrive with nothing, we leave with nothing. In between, we temporarily manage things and we make the mistake of thinking that we own them. And that mistake is one of the biggest causes of mental disturbance in modern life, in modern society. So Krishna is saying that I am the supreme proprietor. Now, I want to tell you a story, another story. So there was a man who was very rich. He had a big mansion, 6 bedrooms, 5 baths, very rich guy. He had 2 sons, and he was about to sell his property, this house. One day, this house caught fire. And he was standing outside his house, and he started crying like anything. Because he spent so much money in building that home, and he started crying. So his one son came running towards him, and he said, "Father, father, we already signed the papers yesterday. The house is no longer ours." Immediately, that man stopped crying. Just a few minutes later, his other son came running towards him. He said, "Father, father, the registration didn't go through. Legally, the house is still ours." Immediately, the man started crying again. So it's the same fire, same house, same loss. What is the difference? Ownership. The difference is the ownership. So the story exposes a very deep truth, which is that suffering does not come from events. Suffering comes from imagined proprietorship. So what's the solution? Well, Krishna gives a solution. He says, do your duty, thinking myself as Krishna as a proprietor, but think yourself as the caretaker. So the caretaker actually works very seriously, right? He's working very seriously, but he's sleeping very peacefully. And there are many examples of that. So think of, I think most of you here must have rented a car at some point. What happens when you rent a car? When you rent a car for a week, you don't own the car. Also, you're responsible for the car. It's not that you can bump the car somewhere and you'll be okay. No, you take care of the car, and then you run the car well, but you don't own the car. So if something goes wrong with the car while driving, you know who to call, and then you return the car. So that is the concept that Krishna is teaching us, is that he is the proprietor and we are the caretakers. Now, with the third principle, Krishna goes even further deeper, and Krishna says that I am the supreme well-wisher of everyone. So let me ask you another question. Do you think God loves us? Do you think Krishna is a well-wisher? Even when our plans are not working out, even when the prayers are all unanswered. Right? I remember when I was young, I used to make so many plans. I have diaries and diaries of plans. Okay, right, wake up at this time, do this, do that, study this, go get this job, do that. I think 90% of them failed. But what happens when our prayers are not being answered? At that moment, do we still feel that Krishna is on my side? Because Krishna is saying he's the supreme well-wisher. Do you think Krishna is on your side when these plans fail? Right? And a question comes is, if God really loved me, then why wouldn't he let me do everything that I want? Right? If he loves me, why can't I just do everything I want? You know, Krishna loves us unconditionally, yes. But that doesn't mean that he is giving us unconditional approval to do everything. How many of you are parents here? So what does a parent do? A parent loves a child even when the child misbehaves. A parent loves a child even when the child fails in exams, right? A parent loves the child even when the child makes mistakes. But if a child gets addicted to drugs, do you think the parent should supply the drugs to the child? No, right? Because love means something else. Love means intervention. Love means you care for that person and you want to do right for that person. So as a parent, you want to do right for the child. You separate the child with the child's behavior. And you say, I love you, but I don't love what you're doing to yourself. So similarly, Krishna is also separating us from our actions. Krishna loves us. He's our supreme well-wisher. Now, a question may come, why is Krishna only the supreme enjoyer? Why can't someone else be the supreme enjoyer? Krishna is the supreme enjoyer because of two reasons. And I mean, there are many reasons. These are the two reasons that I have right now. Which is, he doesn't abandon us. Krishna never leaves us. Krishna never says that I am the supreme well-wisher of only devotees in ISKCON Alachua, or I am the well-wisher of only pious people, or I am only the well-wisher of people from India. No. He says that I am the well-wisher of every living being, every living entity. And the reason is that Krishna is present in our heart as a supersoul. Says sarvasya chaam hridi sanivishto. He's present in our heart. He's present as a super soul. So he's also present in all the animals. So in everyone. And he also says that I am the seed-giving father. So he never abandons anyone. The second reason is that Krishna knows us perfectly. You think your family knows you well? Think your friends know you well? Your society, community knows you well? No. Krishna knows us more than anyone else because he is present with us as a super soul in our heart. He knows our fears, he knows our attachments, he knows our dreams, he knows everything. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Sarva dharman parityaja mame kam sharanam vraja aham tam sarva pape bhyo mokshishyami masucha. Krishna says that abandon all varieties of religion, abandon everything, just surrender unto me and I will protect you. I will take responsibility of you, right? So just as a parent is holding a child in crossing the busy road, the same way Krishna is ready to hold our hand to cross the road of this material world. That is love. That is the true definition of love. So in Mahabharata, there was an episode where Draupadi was being disrobed and humiliated in the assembly, in the royal assembly. No one came to protect her. The Pandavas did not come. All the elders like Bhishma, Drona, no one came to protect Draupadi. And she was holding this sari in one hand and she was crying for help from all the people in the assembly. But no one came to protect her. But then she took both her hands and raised up in the sky and asked for protection from Krishna. And at that point, Krishna protected her. He supplied unlimited sari to Draupadi and protected her at that time. Acharyas describe that Krishna later on says that, I came because Draupadi let go of both of her hands and asked for protection. This principle of letting go, this principle of surrender is something that we can learn from Draupadi. So first Krishna says, I came. That means Krishna is always watching. Krishna is always observing. He knows what's going on. He's also present in our heart, right? And the second is when you let go. He says, when Draupadi let go, then I came. Because he waited for the complete trust. The complete trust. He was not playing games. He was there to give unlimited help to someone who surrenders to him. So if we think that we are fully surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate accordingly and give us the unlimited protection that we need. But as long as we try to hold ourselves and try to be that proprietor and enjoyer and try to be ourselves as the well-wisher, then we do get help, but it will be limited. So, peace does not come from controlling life. Peace comes from trusting Krishna's intention. The key word here is intention. When we understand Krishna as a supreme well-wisher, we stop seeing suffering as a punishment, and we stop doubting whether Krishna wants our happiness or not. Instead, we ask a better question. And this is the million-dollar question. What is Krishna trying to teach me through this? What is Krishna trying to teach me through this? Just by thinking through this question, we can become peaceful and calm. So, Krishna says, I'm the supreme well-wisher, because he's saying, I will never abandon you. I know you perfectly and completely. And everything I ask of you is for your highest good. So peace begins the moment we trust Krishna's intentions. Now I want to conclude by saying that Krishna is saying through this verse, 529, which Srila Prabhupada calls the peace formula. He says, Krishna says, peace appears when we understand three things. When we stop trying to be the enjoyer and instead try to please Krishna. That's number one. Number two, when we stop pretending to be the owner and instead accept our role as caretaker. And when we stop doubting that Krishna is on our side and begin to trust that Krishna loves us more than we love ourselves. So I wrote a very short prayer for this verse that we can meditate on. The prayer is, my dear Lord, please bless me with your mercy so I may see all activities as service, all of my activities as service to you. I see myself as a caretaker of all that you have given me, and never doubt your loving intentions in my life. Now, to make it even more practical, I thought we can do a very short meditation. 30 seconds. And what we can do, if you want to close your eyes, you can close your eyes. If you want to keep it open, you can keep it open. I want you to think about one area of your life where you feel anxious, where you feel dissatisfied, right? Restless. One area of your life. I want you to, for a few seconds, think that. Okay, now keep your eyes closed. Now I ask all of you to just think of one question. With that one problem or situation that we are in, am I trying to be the enjoyer? Or am I the owner, trying to be the owner or proprietor? Or am I doubting Krishna's love? So with this reflection, we can understand any situation that we are in and try to relate to this verse and can understand why there is no peace, why there is no satisfaction in our life. There's more reflection that can be done, for sure, and I highly recommend everyone to do some of that reflection by understanding this verse. So I want to end here. Thank you very much. I want to see if there are any comments or questions. There are so many senior devotees here. I want to hear from them as well about their reflections on this verse, because they've been practicing for many, many years.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
So much information and so much to think about. I was thinking about a specific example of Prabhupada in the Bombay property. And in terms of a caretaker, even though obviously Prabhupada knows he's not the owner, he really fought for it, you know, because he was trying to be cheated, and he really had to, you know, he really had to fight for it. So sometimes situations are like that, and you have to do your very best, correct?
Yes.
And then whatever happens, yet, well, that's somehow the Krishna is leading in this direction. I don't know if you want to say anything about how to view situations like that.
Yeah, when Srila Prabhupada, I remember one incident where there was a lot of noise coming from outside, and I think it was Bombay, and Srila Prabhupada, everyone said, all the devotees said, Prabhupada, should we close the window? And Prabhupada said, no, don't close the window. This is like kirtan to me, all this noise. So Prabhupada viewed all the turmoil and everything as a way to also understand that this is provided to him by Krishna. Mm-hmm. And he saw Krishna's hand in everything. Mm-hmm. And that actually made him even more stronger. With every fight that he had to do, every turmoil, every chaotic situation that he had to deal with, by doing that, he became even more and more stronger. Because he knew that this is Krishna doing it. His position was correct, which is he knew what his position is as a servant of Krishna. Mm-hmm. And that gave him all the strength in the world to just move on and do what is needed to please his guru and to please Krishna.
Thank you.
I was also thinking that Srila Prabhupada one time told a story about he was on a train with his father, and the conductor came and said, where is your ticket? And then Srila Prabhupada said, I had no worry because my father was there. I knew he had. So yeah. We should feel the same.
Yeah,
Krishna always has us there.
Thank you, Madhu. That's wonderful.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
You said that like we should always think that Krishna is the proprietor, and I'm the
caretaker.
I'm the caretaker. Like it's easy to think, but it's really hard to feel that and realize that, because when these challenges actually happen, we just forget it out of impulse. So we keep trying to do it, but sometimes still we are not really convinced that Krishna is actually loving me. And when Krishna tries to take those problems away, this is a personal dilemma. I feel like, oh, Krishna doesn't want me to make me stronger or something. So
that's a good question. You know, when we pray to Krishna and say, Krishna gives me strength, does Krishna just give you strength and say, all of a sudden you are like, okay, you can deal with everything? The way it works is, when you say, Krishna, I need strength, Krishna gives problems to you so that you can build your strength.
Why doesn't Krishna just give me strength?
Well, that's what unconditional approval that we talked about.
Right.
Krishna loves us, but that doesn't mean that Krishna is unconditionally going to approve anything that we desire. Hmm. Because you are a devotee and you're approaching Krishna, so Krishna is acting like a parent. Like Mataji said, he's like a father. There for you. He knows what's best for you.
Yes.
He knows what your desires are.
Yeah.
He knows what can distract you. So when you ask for strength, when you ask for mercy to deal with any situation, then he gives you those problems so that eventually you build that, what do you call that? You know that when you exercise, we build that muscle,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How do you build the muscle in the gym? Do you go to gym?
Not really.
So how do you, by resistance?
Yes.
Without resistance, there is no muscle. So that is what Krishna is giving so that we can build that muscle. And another thing is, important thing is reflection. A lot of times we can continue to live our life, but if we don't reflect backward, then we won't be able to learn. And that reflection, in addition to reading scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives us this understanding that what just happened. I was in this situation, and Krishna put me in this situation, but now I'm out of this situation, and it's also Krishna's mercy, and this is what I learned from that situation. So that next time when this happens, yes, I know how to apply myself.
Yes.
From that situation, to that situation or anything like that.
Right.
Does that help?
Yeah, it does make sense, yeah.
I also want to request any other senior devotees who want to address the questions, because I think they're more experienced than me. And
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
That lecture size was very nice. It took me to a place, I can remember the time, it was around October 1986 in San Diego, and I had a question. I asked three devotees that I valued their opinion. One of them is actually here right now, Mahatma. You probably don't remember my question. I asked two other devotees in San Diego, how do you know, because our minds are very active. And I was thinking of, there was a situation, should I do this or should I not do this? It was a preaching mission, but I was thinking, how do I know it's guidance from within? Krishna's actually guided me? Or is it my mind? Or is it an influence of people around me, other devotees? Could be material desires. How do we just differentiate? And I asked Mahatma and two other devotees, and you didn't know that I asked this question to the other two devotees, and you all said the exact same thing. And that axiom has been with me my whole life, it's flawless, and thank you for that. It has helped me through so many things, and perhaps I'll reflect on what you had said. My question, how do you know? It's your mind? Or outside influence, or is it Krishna? And these three devotees said that if it's going to increase your service, is it going to keep your service the same? Or will it decrease your service, which means attraction to the holy names as well? Will it increase, keep it the same, or diminish it? And if it's going to, one of those three is a barometer. And this was the key one that you said, was that, is it just as strong day by day by day by day by day? Or does it flicker? Because the mind flickers. So you can always, should I do this? Is it for Krishna? How do I know I'm not convinced? Am I convincing myself? You know, am I, whatever. It's flawless. Thank you. You know, it's kind of what you're talking about.
You know? Thank you.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Anyone else? I remember Bhagavad Gita 18.58. Machitta Sarvadurgani. Yes. Krishna did not say he will remove your challenges or obstacle. In that verse, he clearly says, I'll be with you and walk through, make you stronger.
Yeah.
So in future, you can handle. Yeah. It's a wrong idea to think that Krishna will stop my problem or Krishna will remove. This is not what Krishna says. Loving Father means like that he will well train each of us how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Very nice class. Thank you.
Thank you, Ram.
Small?
On the back side.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It was a lovely class. And this is... it's just a personal comment from me, how I appreciate the time that I spent, like, living in the ashram. We used to have to memorize verses. I don't know if people still do that. But whenever I hear this verse, I remember years ago, one of my god sisters told me that in the middle of the night she was having some difficult dream and she woke herself up by going, Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvalokamaheshwaram. So whenever I hear it, I think of her.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, all goes to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.